Okay, I'm arranging the flowers. There was a day in my life I was a flower delivery guy. Do you know that? Is this on yet? There we go. So when I was a flower delivery guy, I hated Mother's Day. Because guess what happens if you don't get the flowers there by Mother's Day? Your name is Mud. I guess I can stand here. That'll be fine. Well, I love my mom. She's has gone on, but I can tell you all the things I sort of didn't love about her, but in the long run, it made me the person I am, because I hated Fridays because that was the day to dust everything in the house. And moving every trophy, every plant, everything, it had to be dusted correctly. Probably the day I hated the worst was the day I had to clean windows, because she got to be inside. I had to be outside. Outside would be her pointing to me and say, here's a smudge, here's a smudge, here's a smudge, here's a smudge. But we all had a mom, have a mom. Someday you'll be a mom. Someday you may not be a mom. But God has a special place in all of our hearts for that motherly instinct that comes not only through them, but also through God Himself. Usually it's jokes that are told by dads that are like the groaners, but sometimes moms say jokes that are just as groaning. And I want to read a few to you here. Sometimes from a kid's perspective, sometimes from a mom's perspective. When I asked my mom if she could make me a sandwich, she said, "Poof, you're a sandwich." That's my kind of joke. I like that. I told my daughter to stop playing with her food, so she started playing with her plate instead. Mom's recipe for iced coffee: 1, have kids; 2, make coffee; 3, forget you made coffee; 4, drink it cold. My mom never did this, but I did part of this. Good moms let you lick the beaters after making brownies. Great moms turn them off first. It's spicy, universal mom code for, quote, "I don't want to share." I smile because I'm your mother, but I laugh because there's nothing you can do about it. Definition of mother: noun, one person who does the work of 20 for free. Son: mom, can I get 20 bucks? Mom: does it look like I'm made of money? Son: well, isn't that what M-O-M stands for? Made of money. There you go. Cleaning with children in the house is like brushing your teeth while eating Oreos. Life of a mom: it takes 35 minutes to put shoes on your toddler, but they can open 3 apps, delete iTunes, and call your boss in 17 seconds. First child eats dirt, mom calls the doctor. Second child eats dirt, mom cleans out their mouth. Third child eats dirt, mom wonders if she still needs to make lunch. Silence is golden. Unless you have kids, then silence is suspicious. Greta read a poem entitled A Mother's Love. I looked that up and wanted to find out how many poems had been entitled A Mother's Love, and they guess what AI said? Don't know. Countless. Here's a few stats about Mother's Day. It's celebrated in 100 countries worldwide. How many cards do you think are exchanged in the United States on Mother's Day? Not a billion, 113 million. Okay, it's always good to guess above, right? It's the third most popular card-giving occasion, believe it or not, after Christmas and Valentine's Day. And dads, guess what? We're 35 million behind on the card thing. Dads only get about 85 million a year. Flowers are undoubtedly the most significant symbols of the day. Over $2 billion are spent annually on Mother's Day bouquets. What else happens on Mother's Day? You're probably going to do it after church this morning. Going out to dinner. 87 million adults go out to dinner, reported in previous years on Mother's Day. Restaurants love it. Waitresses don't. Another interesting fact on Mother's Day is that charitable contributions occur on Mother's Day. People honoring causes such as women's shelters, healthcare initiatives, or educational charities. And search engines on computers, iPhones, tablets, so forth, skyrocket and surge on Mother's Day. Queries like last minute gifts for mom and Mother's Day flowers, delivery near me, spike. Roses are red, violets are blue. One kid said, I love my dog. This was written to his mom. I love my dog, and you're okay too. Probably the three words that are most connected with Mother's Day is simply to say, I love you. Today I want to talk about God's motherly love. Let's pray. God, we thank you for making us. The song even that spoke about so many different animals and how each creation you made brings praise to you. And that we know the same thing is true of male and female, that you have created them in your image, and without that, somehow, your reflection shines through. We've heard that reflection of love even demonstrated and shown today by children's love for their mother. Not only children at a young age, but us adults who reflect back on our mom's love towards us. We thank you that you show your love to us through our moms and through other things that you have made in your name. Amen. There's some ways in which the Bible reveals God through some feminine characteristics and metaphors about God. My Sunday school class this morning, I talked about, my first question in class was, is God male or female? And that was a surprising question, because God really isn't either gender. He's a spirit. But he chooses to reveal himself Let's face it, Jesus came as a man. He did not come as a female. We pray the prayer that disciples wanted to learn how to pray, and they said, "Our Father." But it's still that God is not really a gender. But at the same time, when it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that so God created man in his image, male and female, he created them. Without both genders, somehow God's image would not be perfectly reflected. And it seems like the abundance of metaphors that the Bible uses tends to be about males as far as God goes. But it's not as though there aren't any female or feminine characteristics of God. I got to get my Bible. Got to have a Bible. I forgot that. I knew I was missing something. If you have a Bible and you want to turn to it, you're welcome to. I don't have any scriptures on the screen, but I will read some of them for you. Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says this: "For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob his allotted inheritance. In a desert land he found them, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye." Then in verse 11 it says, "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft." Doesn't use the word mother there, but you got the idea that that's a female eagle that hovers over its young. In Isaiah chapter 49, it says this. Chapter 49, verses 13 through 15. "Shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth, burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgot me.'" Verse 15 is where it uses that motherly metaphor. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, which seems odd, Isaiah records, "I will not forget you," referring to God. Also in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 9 through 13, it says, "Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to the delivery, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All who love her, rejoice greatly with her. All who mourn over her, for you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord Jehovah says: I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you'll be comforted over Jerusalem." In the book of Hosea, chapter 13, Hosea talks and says, I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. then they forgot me. So I will be like a lion to them. Like a leopard, I will lurk by the path. Like a mother bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them apart. You are destroyed, O Israel, because you are against me, against your helper. Kind of a flip side to a mother. And then in the book of Luke, Jesus says these words. After he's pronounced many, many woes on the people in this day that were religious, but not following the Messiah, Luke chapter 13 says this, verses 31 through 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place, go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." Verse 34, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord,'" which would be not long after that. I want to use this last reference to God's motherly love and branch off on that a little bit and take the idea of the hen. Now, I did not grow up on a farm. I never raised chicks. I should have probably got our chicken expert up here. I have one in my family, not my immediate family, but somebody I just saw not too long ago who raises chickens. But I'm going to read . Did you know there's a National Chicken Day? Probably about a day for anything, right? This article was written by a lady named Karen Davis, who's Dr. Karen Davis. She's the president of the United Poultry Concerns. She says this about hens. And this, "Thus, mother hens present in every way, they're a noble example of love for their offspring." She says, "I saw this love in action when a hen named Eva," named a hen, jumped our sanctuary fence on a spring day and disappeared, only to return 3 weeks later in June with 8 fluffy chicks. Watching Eva with her tiny brood close behind her was like watching a family of wild birds whose dark and golden feathers blended perfectly with the woods and foliage they melted in and out during the day. Periodically, Eva would squat down with her feathers puffed out, and her peeping chicks would all run under her wings for comfort and warmth. A few minutes later, the family was on the move again. One day a large dog wandered in front of a magnolia tree where Eva and her chicks were foraging with her wings outspread and curved menacingly toward the dog. She rushed at him over and over, cackling loudly, all the while continuing to push her chicks behind herself with her wings. The dog stood stock still before the excitement the excited mother hen soon ambled away, but Eva maintained her aggressive posture, her sharp, repetitive cackles, and attentive lookout for several minutes after he was gone. Jesus, who was the son of David, wanted his chosen people, which I read about in Luke chapter 13, he wanted his people who were centered in Jerusalem to come under his wings. He came into his own and his own received him not. They did not stay under his wings or reach for that, a majority of them. But I do want to backtrack a little bit to Jesus' relative who would have been, I'm not sure exactly in the line, the great, great, great and so forth grandfather of Jesus to view David's outlook on being loved by God in a motherly way under his wings. And there's six instances in the book of Psalms I'm going to refer to. Five deal with David. One has to do with Moses, one of the Psalms that he wrote. But I'm going to group those six into three categories because of the response they took, the action they took in response to God's under his wings love. And the first one is in Psalm chapter 36, verse 7. Get my eyes on so I can see better here. Chapter 36, David, who wrote this psalm, it says that this was a song, it was for a director of music. And he says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens." This is verse 5. "Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings." He says something similar in Psalm chapter 57, verse 1. This was the occasion for this psalm was when he had fled from Saul into a cave. "Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me. For in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." The 61st Psalm says this, another song written for a director of music. Verse 4, "Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place." That's not the right one. That's 62. 61. "From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." And then the last one, it has to do with this idea of refuge, is in Psalm 91, verse 4. This was one written by Moses, most likely. "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." God's motherly love in the picture of a hen and being under the wings of a ch- of a hen is the same, is the kind of love where it says, these responses have been this, that I have, or I have been, or I will be taking refuge. I will go to this spot. Why do those little chicks go underneath their mother's wings? For protection. They feel comfort there, and they feel trust. They put their trust that their mom's going to take care of them. And David used that same imagery as he was writing some of these psalms, especially some of them where he was being chased by Saul or being chased by his enemies, that he could go and say, I'm going to be under the protection of my God who sheltered me with his wings. Sometimes it was a figurative analogy. Sometimes maybe even a literal analogy. The second set of psalm, or one, actually it's just one psalm that David talks about, is found in Psalm chapter, the 17th psalm, verse 8. David says this, hear my Lord, my plea is just. Listen to my cry, as he begins the psalm, and then later he says, show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand, verse 7, those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Being in the shadow of wings, as one commentator says this, the protective covering offered by the wings of a mother bird, this image is used in many psalms, this being one of them. Assyrian prophets used the image to promise divine protection to the king in the context of physical danger from enemies. The goddess Ishtar encourages Esarhaddon, one of the Assyrian kings, by reminding him that she raised him between her wings and would therefore assure his success. Egyptian art also portrays the king surrounded by the protective covering of a deity's wings. David would go to these places, and not only would he take refuge in that, he would say, God, hide me. Hide me from my enemies. Hide me from those that are oppressing me or trying to find me. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 24, David and Saul, who he was running from, ended up being in the same cave. That was the one where David had almost 500 men in a cave. That was a pretty big cave. And while he was in there with his himself and his men with him, Saul came in bluntly to go use the restroom. And that's that story where David could have killed him, but chose not to. He spared the Lord's anointed. And I really have to believe there's times in David's life that, yes, he was hidden under God's wings, like a chick under a hen's wings, by hiding in a cave. Okay? God made that cave. That was a good place to hide from his enemies. Also, I also have to believe there were times where, let's say in that particular cave, how could David get that close to the one that's trying to kill him without being recognized that he was there? That God somehow supernaturally hid him from Saul's view. I want to say in our lives, there's times where God shows his motherly love and that we have to run and take refuge in that. Because that's the only thing we have. We try to take refuge many times in our own strength and in our own powers. But just like children go to their mothers when they have a boo-boo and take refuge and need just that band-aid that says, I love you, we need to do the same thing. We need to take refuge in God. We need to hide in God's love, in the shade of his wings. The last one here in Psalm 63, David, this time it says he was in the desert of Judah. It starts out, you God are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. And then later on, as he continues with this psalm, he says this, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. Whereas in the psalm before, in Psalm 17, where God said, David said, I want to hide me in the shadow of your wings. This time, I think when he says that, he doesn't use the idea of hiding, but he uses the idea of singing. And I'm thinking, can you only sing in shade? It seems that this word that's used for sing there is the way it's put in the Hebrew, it's a very intensified idea. It's the idea of giving a ringing cry or a shout for joy. Or, I had to look this one up, to creak or to emit a stridulous sound. Stridulous being an idea of a shrill or a harsh or grating sound. Now, if I try to sing falsetto, I'm going to get a shrill, a stridulous sound. But sometimes when you're praising God and when you're so excited about what God is doing for you, the way in which he's taking care of you through his love, you might have, in a sense, a shriek. You're so pumped up about it that God is helping you. So when we think of the next time you see a bird of any kind, whether it be a chicken or a hen or not, and you think about the wings and how they protect their young and how that shows their love for them, remember God is doing some of the same things. God wants you to come to you wants you to come to him, as his refuge and strength. He wants you to not only take refuge in him, but hide in him. He wants you to get to a point where those shadows, that shade that God provides, especially in the desert of Judah for David, just flat out shade was a relief. After being in the searing sun for so long, running from different enemies. So in the mother's love, I want you to be reminded you can take refuge, you can hide, and you can even give a ringing, shouting shout, singing shout, and do that today, obviously, and every day. But don't forget, it's God's days first and foremost. Refuge, take refuge, hide, sing in his love. I close with this story. if I was more technologically advanced, I could probably get to it quicker. This was a story recounted by a guy named Wayne Jacobson, written way back in 1999. He says this: the forest fire had been brought under control, and the group of firefighters were working back through the devastation, making sure all the hot spots had been extinguished. As they marched across the blackened landscape between the wisps of smoke still rising from the smoldering remains, a large lump on the trail caught a firefighter's eye. As he got closer, he noticed it was the charred remains of a large bird that had burned nearly halfway through. Since birds can fly so easily away from the approaching flames, the firefighter wondered what must have been wrong with this bird that it could not escape. Had it been sick? Injured? Arriving at the carcass, he decided to kick it off the trail with his boot. As soon as he did, however, he was startled half to death by a flurry of activity under his feet. Four little birds flailed in the dust, and ash then scurried away down the hillside. The bulk of the mother's body had covered them from the searing flames. Though the heat was enough to consume her, it allowed her babies to find safety underneath. In the face of the rising flames, she had stayed with her young. She was their only hope for safety, and willing to risk her own life, she gathered them under her body and covered them with herself. Even when the pain reached its most unbearable moment, when she could have easily have flown away to start another family on another day, she made herself stay through the raging flames. Her dead carcass and her fleeing chicks told the story well enough. She gave the ultimate sacrifice to save her young. But it also illustrates an even greater story, this one almost incomprehensible. In this story, it is the Creator of heaven and earth who does exactly the same thing to rescue his wayward children from their own destruction. Because he loves you. God, we thank you for the love of a mother, and we thank you for how your scriptures has chosen to use the picture, the metaphor of a motherly bird, a motherly hen, in the life of David and also in the life of us. A mother's love is great. In some ways, hard to compare, but when we compare it to your love, it still falls short because of what you have done for us. May we take refuge in you when we try to take refuge in other things. May we hide in you instead of trying to hide in other ways. And may we shout for joy, even in a shrieking way, under your wings of love. We pray these things in your name. Amen. You are dismissed. You're welcome.